This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream. At the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane, see the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, coming at you live from Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crunch Revenge, and I'm hanging out with Mark Blakenbaker, also known as
U of L Sheriff 50,
which is lame, and Chris Hatfield.
Underscore Chris Hatfield.
Underscores are lame as well, but we're sitting here. I've been running around interviewing a bunch of people. We have interviews coming later today from blogs and media alike, all sorts of opinions on what's going on today. But Mark and Chris, they've been watching this. Guys, what are you seeing so far?
You know, these guys, they just scrimmaged yesterday, so they're out here stretching their legs. You really can see a lot in the position groups today, and, you know, who's out here, who's injured, who's kind of would be their fill-in replacement. That's kind of the most interesting thing that I've seen.
Chris, what are you seeing out here today?
Well, it's always a fun game to get out here, like, so let's see what position breakdowns are.
Talks really soft, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're getting nowhere with me. I'm married. Mark, tell me this. You're seeing some guys that are moving around in different positions. So there's been one, the Richard Benjamin story. What's the Richard Benjamin story?
Well, Richard Benjamin tweeted like 3 or 4 days ago that he was moving to wide receiver, and then the University of Louisville came out and said, oh, he's still a corner. And he was even in practice at corner, but today at Van Day, he is a wide receiver. He's wearing a red number 22 jersey. So he's out here. Also, Pedro Sibia, who's a defensive tackle, out right guard, probably because of the Cameron Joyer injury that we're seeing right now. We don't think it's all that serious, but Pedro has moved from D tackle to right guard, and we'll see if that's a permanent move or not. But I think it's really because Dajon Richardson and Kyle Shortridge are really tearing it up on the defensive tackle side. They're really big surprises, I think, for the coaching staff right now at D tackle.
Good and bad thing, I guess, for Cards fans is normally like to redshirt your freshman, but there's been a lot of talk about offensive line and defensive line depth, mostly due to injuries, but maybe also some players not panning out. I mean, can you think of any players right now that maybe should be stepping up at this point and are not, and that's why we're not hearing much from them?
You know, one of the people that's actually stepped up that we haven't heard of for a long time is Chris DaCosta, and he's running with the number one right guard right now. And, you know, there's always a few players in every single recruiting class that come in, the 4 stars, 3 stars, that you think are going to be, you know, high-level players. Deion Rogers, for example, at, you know, weak side linebacker, he's always been the number two guy. James Burgess passed him last year. He's the number one weak side linebacker. I always thought like he was going to be the heir apparent there. Never has stepped up. He's a fifth-year senior. He'll be a great backup, but, you know, he's a great example of a guy who just never has come on.
U.S. Army All-American Nick Dawson. What's his story?
Nick Dawson's a guy who came in with a lot of hype. Very talented player, very big, very athletic.
Athletic linebacker.
switching positions around has been used kind of as a hybrid guy here today. We've seen him on the defensive end. We've seen him at the middle mic spot in some spots. So, interesting, to say the least.
Anything else you're seeing out there that's making you raise your eyebrows or applaud?
You know, kind of back to the question that you asked him, I think there are a lot of guys, particularly on the defensive line, that you wish would kind of step up a little. It's more of a weaker spot than Louisville. And Brandon Dunn's one of those guys who really sticks out for me. Moved him to nose guard, supposedly, so we'll see how that pans out. But nose guard, so we'll see how he develops that.
There's some fans right there. I told you, folks, we're live. We are live and uncut right here. Well, we might cut. You know, we can edit, so we can do whatever we want, I guess.
Yeah, we could. We could, absolutely. You know, I think with Chris's point, I mean, there's some players out here that are missing. Damian Copeland. And he's been, you know, walking around in practice field. He's not out here today. Jermaine Brooks. Haven't seen him at any at fall camp. D'Angelo Brown. Oh, we'll see it all in 2013. But there's some players that will play. We just got to see where they play. Stephon Robinson just had an interception right behind you on Andrew Richer from Christian Academy.
I could see it in your sunglasses. Listen to the crowd, folks.
Yeah, 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from today, we'll be playing football. And it's just going to be incredible. It's a big crowd out here now. It's going to be 10 times the size of what we had here today. But I'm really excited about
it. Everything we've been waiting for. Yeah, like you said, it's a mystery.
Now, I've seen good plays already by James Quick, Michael Dyer, and, well, Devontae Parker had a great diving catch in traffic. But how about Michael Lee Harris?
I like Michael Lee Harris. You know, they're still keeping him out of a lot of heavy contact. So we may not see him in the opening weekend, but he looks great. I mean, he's moving. He's going up and getting the ball. He's running well. He's good routes. He's cutting. So I think he's ready, but I think the staff is just being cautious with him. They want to get the 100% clear from the doctors and trainers before they actually put him out there. But he does need to go through a scrimmage or two before they actually put him on the field, I think. And I don't think we'll see him against Ohio, but I'm hopeful we do.
Chris, what do you think about the whole no autographs, turning it into a fan day scrimmage?
You know, the whole no autograph thing has kind of angered me at the first. I think it's a little bit overreaction in part of Louisville, but in the end, this is a great deal too. You know, getting to watch a scrimmage out here and getting the fans to see some players. But I do wish that some of the younger kids, particularly some of the younger fans, got the opportunity for the autographs. I think one thing it does is increases the value of a guy's autograph because you're not having the access to him anymore. But this is fine too.
Yeah, if you want to have beer and football on a Sunday afternoon, I mean, that's pretty much priceless. You can lose an autograph in a house fire. So, you know, for me, I'd rather come out here and see my team 2 weeks before. And now it's kind of like a bye week because you're going to miss next week. You're not going to have any football next week. But it's like a bye week during the season. We get to go to Papa John's. We got tailgating going on. And now here we're going to have football on Sunday afternoon. We're going to play two Sundays from now. I'm in.
What do you think about the crowd numbers here? Guess estimates.
Well, we'll see what U of L says was the official number, but I would say 6,500 to 5,000.
6,500 to 5,000?
Or, you know, somewhere in there. You know, somewhere in that range.
You thought you were supposed to start with the low number. Go somewhere between 6,500 and nobody.
I go low. That's my way.
All right. So it's like, I don't know if that's a Price is Right trick. I don't know what's going on. Chris, what do you think?
That's close enough. I'd say 1 to 5,000.
All right. Well, we'll see who wins on the Showcase Showdown. A little bit later today. My impressions, I'm out here and I'm interviewing everybody. I don't have a lot of impressions. What I've seen, though, is I've seen guys diving for the ball. I've seen people fighting through their kind of faux tackles that they're doing. I'm seeing guys working hard. I love seeing Coach Hurt out here. And let's talk about Coach Hurt. So, I mean, obviously he's out here right now pending everything that happens with Miami. Some people, you know, were kind of taken off guard that, hey, Coach Hurt's on the sideline. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Then they said no decision yet. But then, okay, well, is it a bad thing since there's no decision yet? Let's start with Mark and we'll go to Chris.
Well, you know, this came out 3 years ago. This is the third season that it's potentially affecting University of Louisville and Miami.
Now let's go to Chris.
Thanks.
Sorry. Let's go back to Mark. I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got to cut him off, I guess. Let's go back to Mark.
But at some point, it has to come to an end. I mean, you cannot sit around and wait for the NCAA to just say, okay, Clint Hurt's finally allowed to come back to football. No, it was U of L's choice to have him take a leave of absence. It is their choice to bring him back. If there's any penalty that happens, they'll deal with it then. But right now, they need a D-line coach, so they got their D-line coach back.
I mean, who is the NCAA? I don't even know if it's a governing body anymore. It's a little ridiculous, like you said. It's a slow process. Players are happy for him to be out here, and I'm happy to see him out here because I think he's doing a great job of it.
Today's NCAA controversy was the Marine who was stricken from eligibility because he played a rec league with his troops.
Overseas. He played in a rec league overseas. He's a Marine. He served the country. This is another example of the NCAA just being absolutely just infuriating because this is a guy who served his country. He worked in a hardware store. He went into the Marines, fought overseas. Now he's going to college. He's in the GI Bill, walked on. He's not going to be a big factor at Middle Tennessee State, but let him play.
The guy deserves to play, and I think probably if the military went to the NCAA's doorstep with some of their off-duty reserves right now, they would probably change their mind.
I agree, like you said, another instance where the NCAA has just been completely incompetent.
This edition of the Crunch Zone is brought to you by the O-Line Sports Grill. O-Line is on the front line of Cardinal sports. Come in for wings, happy hour, and $3.99 burgers every Tuesday. It's a sports fan's dream at the corner of Westport Road and Hurstburn Lane. See the menu online at olinegrill.com and text CRUNCH to 72727 for a buy one, get one free entree. All right, what are we not talking about? What, you know, I'm asking a lot of questions here, but, you know, I'll be the first to admit I'm not the smartest person in the world. I'm the second smartest. What on earth am I missing here?
You know, I think, I mean, you're kind of hitting. I mean, we haven't really talked a lot about the twos, and, you know, that's kind of the future of Cardinal football. But I think the main thing that you're going to take out of this scrimmage and this fall camp is that Louisville's thin on the offensive line. They have six legitimate O-linemen, and they need to get Jermaine Brooks back. We'll find an answer at D-tackle. Kyle Shortridge and De'Jon Richardson are doing well in camp with the freshmen. You don't want to rely on freshmen in the interior defensive line. You want to get your Jermaine Brooks. You want to get your Brandon Dunn. You want to get your Roy Filon. And they move Pedro Sibi over at right guard. That really is a big signal that Chris DaCosta is your number one right guard right now. Cameron Joy are out. He's not really, I mean, we all like Chris DaCosta, but he's probably not a starter.
What I'm worried about is this. Rewind back a couple years, Hector Hernandez. Exactly. Everyone kind of was surprised that he was the starter. And then, you know, he played pretty good, but then there was a lot of games where it was like, oh, look, it's Hector Hernandez. All right, is Chris DaCosta really on the train here, or is this just an emergency move? And do you think he's going to respond?
This is definitely an emergency move, and I think if this was game day, I think we might actually see Ryan Mack go to right guard and Nacho Garcia at right tackle. But I think right now they're trying to get Ryan Mack ready for right tackle. So leaving him in because Cameron Joyer's injury is not all that serious. Monte Parker just caught a touchdown in the end zone right behind you. But I think that would be the ultimate rotation, is that you have six really good O-linemen. Maybe Joe Manley's your seventh. And then you kind of come in, but you plug in Chris DaCosta because he is the second right guard in the 2D. But I don't know if he's truly your sixth best O-lineman, and I think that's the answer.
Anything to add to that, Chris?
You know, I think Mark's completely correct. I think the O-line is probably the biggest question with this team. Obviously, protecting Teddy Bridgewater is the number one priority. I would turn a little bit to the defensive side of the ball, something that is a little bit intriguing as a defensive back. Adrian Bruchel is gone, and who is really going to step into that spot and become that lockdown corner? You've got guys like Charles Gaines, Jermaine Reeve, Andrew Johnson, who's been out here practicing with the twos, and then you have Stephon Robinson on the other side of the ball and Terrell Floyd. So who is that guy that can kind of emerge there? I think Terrell Floyd and Charles Gaines would be the front runners for me.
All right, tight ends.
Tight ends.
I mean, we all know about Manimal, Gerald Christian,
yep.
But there's been a lot of talk of Hubble in the last few days from Teddy Bridgewater himself.
Yeah, you know, Ryan Hubble, Teddy Bridgewater actually calls him Mr. Reliable because he's always in the right place at the right time. He's in a green jersey today, no contact, because I think he got nicked up on the scrimmage yesterday, but he is out here. And Hubble's number one. And I, you know, coming into the offseason, all I heard about from the strength and conditioning staff was Gerald Christian. He's going to be a one-and-done player. He's running with the two. So, you know, we'll go double tight end a lot this year, but Gerald Christian, when they go single tight end, he'll be on the sideline for Ryan Hubble for right now.
All right, now Nacho Garcia is back on the field. So that's a big deal because he was competing for he was kind of circled for the left tackle. But you might have mentioned it earlier, and I just wasn't paying attention just because I'm not that interested when you all speak. But tell me about a little bit of Nacho Garcia and what you've seen today.
You know, Jamon Brown is your number one left tackle, and Nacho Garcia is in a fight with Ryan Mack.
Nacho is actually, unless he's hurt, you know, unless this shoulder is, you know, shoulder injury, folks, by the way, if you didn't know, that's kind of what was holding him out for a few days, maybe a week. But I think actually Nacho is going to be a starter. I don't know where he's going to start, but I know Rocco was saying at one point he's going to battle for the left tackle. When he was hurt, he was saying that. You know, we're not really seeing that today, you know, so sometimes in the pudding, sometimes you don't know in practice if you're watching experiments or if you're watching the actual competition of the ladder. Big, fast man. What are we seeing here, folks?
That interception. I don't know the numbers. I think it's a walk-on. He got picked off and Will Gardner.
Oh, it's Chucky. Chucky.
All right, Chucky Williams.
But no, I think with Nacho.
Freshman Chucky Williams. Sorry,
freshman.
Folks.
Recently
eligible. Added cleared by the NCAA.
Absolutely. But I think with Nacho is that staff really wants him to take football seriously. The offensive line is a position that you really have have to be focused in and locked in 100% of the time. And I think staff just hasn't seen that maturity out of Nacho yet, but they've seen it out of Ryan Mack. And I think also Ryan Mack is in a better shape than Nacho Garcia is. I think right now that's the difference between Mack and Garcia. I think Garcia is more talented than Mack is, but in the end, staff wants to be able to rely on their right tackle position.
You see that with a lot of freshmen, think of the offensive line. We want those guys to mature in the weight room, and I think that's something that Ryan Mack has took a little bit more serious. Like he just said, a veteran leader, a guy that has proven that he can be on the field and contribute.
All right, folks. I don't know if we have anything much more for now, so let's wrap this puppy up. What's your final word here?
We'll see you in 2 weeks. We're going to get the Ohio Bobcats in here. We're going to take them down. It's going to be a better game than I think a lot of people think. And they run a really strange offense that it's going to really frustrate our defense. But ultimately, I think we do win. But we're excited to get 55,000 people here at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. And they're going to be able to see your video here. They hold them over before game time, and I'm excited about that.
Got a video releasing next week. Cardinal football time. That was used to be able to call the time back in the 90s, and it was JU55961. If you're old enough, you would dial that on your telephone, and Howard Schnellenberger would tell you right before you got the time, it's Cardinal football time. And then you'd actually get a robotic voice giving you the time.
But the time is now.
But the time is now, and we're out here. We've got a lot of interviews set for this podcast coming up, so I hope you all are looking forward to getting different interviews. And we're talking people from radio. We're talking people from the paid sites, from the newspaper. We've got a whole slew of interviews. So that's what we're going to cut to right now. I'm with Douglas Beaumont, 2010 alumni, U of L local superstar for Mayo as well. What are you looking at here today, the spring game?
I'm just coming out here just to see all this talent that's on the team right now, just to see Teddy Bridgewater, also to see what Dyer's here to bring, and just the whole team as a whole. I know Louisville's going to come out this year and surprise a lot of people.
Who's going to be a physical receiver? I've always seen you fight through some tough tackles when you would make your catch to try to drag defenders with you. Who do you think, you know, Andrell Smith last year seemed to be kind of that physical receiver. Who's our guy this year?
I think it might be Devontae Parker. I mean, I heard he's in the offseason been getting a little stronger, getting bigger, so he might be able to come out here and be a little more aggressive. Then also Damian Copeland. Damian Copeland's been working all 4 years, battling injuries, but finally he's going to come out here, and I think he's going to help out the team a lot.
And you played for Mayo, so all this high school rivalry, you just put that to bed once they put on a Cardinal uniform, or do y'all still talk trash maybe during the high school season?
Oh, we always talk trash. When Trinity's playing Mayo, we're going to talk trash. When St. X's playing Mayo, talk trash. And then the worst is Manuel. So I'm always just going to let them know that I'm from Mayo High School, and I'm always going to represent.
All right, great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi, Cardinal fans. I'm with the man himself, Hellraiser. Hellraiser, fan day. Not autograph day. What do you think about that?
I think it's fine because the purpose of fan day is to interact with players. I know you're not actually interacting with them. But it's not really about the autographs. Especially, I feel bad for the little kids. I think that, you know, them looking up to the players, they should be able to meet them and do all that. But it's not really for autographs. You know, come out, you should be happy to get to see the team one more time before the season starts.
Yeah, that's the way I was thinking. It's a good opportunity to see maybe Michael Dyer, James Quick, some guys we didn't get to see in the spring game. What are you watching today?
I'm watching the wide receivers. I'm excited to see the transition that Teddy's been working on in the summer. Damian, I haven't seen Damian out here, but Devontae's in mid-season form. I think he could be an early draft pick, you know, top three receiver. But Michael Dyer, I mean, the whole team, it looks great.
Who wins, Michael Dyer's calves or Shane Bohannon's calves?
I'm going Michael Dyer's biceps.
Biceps over calves. What's the team? I know you're friends with a lot of the players, and you know you're real close with the guys. You know, what do you think the vibe is on the team getting ready for the season? How focused? Maybe how much are they still celebrating last year? What do you think? How do you think the picture looks for the team right now?
The guys are really excited. Clearly, people have their expectations, but the players have expectations for themselves as well. They're focused on the goal game by game. You know, you could look national championship and BCS bowl, all that, but you know, you got to play Ohio first, and you know, EKU moved down the schedule in order to reach that big goal. But the players are really excited. John Miller, Lorenzo, they're always talking about how excited they are for the fans. They want to see the fans. They want to see. The biggest thing I can really say is they want to see the stadium packed come kickoff. No team wants to run out of that tunnel and see a half empty stadium.
Good man. El Razor, keeping it real for the Louisville fans. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
We got two diehard Tar fans. We're going to see what their names are and what they're looking forward to this year.
Jay Thompson, just looking to see how the running backs are looking. Look to see how the receivers are looking, and especially the defense.
Who do we got here?
Brad Willis, and I want to see what some of the new guys and the new additions look like. James Quick, Dyer in particular. And just trying to get excited for the season more than anything.
Can this team go to the national title if they're undefeated?
Well, there's a guy on Fox Sports 1 college football that projected us there against Alabama, and Teddy is the Heisman finalist, so with our schedule, why not?
What do you think?
I don't see any reason why not. There's a lot of talk about our schedule being weak. That's not our fault, but the thing is, I can't see us going backwards if we're starting on a number 5, number 9, somewhere in there in the BCS. We remain undefeated. We can't go backwards. I don't see why not.
So we got to keep the heat on, and if it was up to us three, we'd vote him in.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for joining. I'm with Bob Dominey, News Talk 1570, and decades in sports about
decades.
Bob, what are you looking for today?
You know, like everybody else, you want to see Teddy Bridgewater. You want to see what he looks like. You want to watch him move and act. Everybody's interested in looking at Michael Dyer because that's the new offensive weapon, and he's built a lot like Barry Sanders, big calves, you know, big thighs, darts around in traffic. Like, we don't have a darter. Dominique Brown, you know, can bowl over people, and Corbin Lamb or Sonoris Perry can run away from people, but Dyer has the entire package. And then I want to look at Will Gardner, because if, pray, Teddy goes down, that's what we're stuck with. So far, I've not been overly impressed with Will. There's just a major gap between he and Bridgewater.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's fair for any.
No,
that
really is. No, it's not. And I'll tell you another one you can look at, just because it's a local kid who I've known since he's been in grade school, and that's James Quick. I'm a little surprised at how skinny he is relative to the other receivers, even. I just assumed he was tall and built, but he's got to put on some weight, no doubt about that.
Well, I think that skinny probably helps him get away from trouble, right?
Well, but when you get into the big time now, not at Trinity High School anymore against high school kids, you're going to get against college kids. He's a freshman, get against a junior or seniors, have a chance to put on the pounds and put on the muscle. He's going to have some problems, you would think, getting off the line.
And what do you think about no autographs? To me, personally, I think the chance to see Dyer and Quick in action, it's like a spring game in the fall. I actually would prefer this versus seeing the guys at the table just signing pictures. But I understand it's about the kids, too.
It's an overreaction to something. Not nothing, but something. He's being overprotective, but that's Charlie's nature. I mean, that's why he doesn't allow fans anymore in a couple of times a year. That's why the press doesn't get any more access than the fans do, except for post-practice interviews. And that's not unusual. It irks me because I go back to Vince Lombardi saying, here's my playbook. Beat me. And all the secrecy and stuff just drives me crazy. Gives us not a chance to give the fans an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, I'm still pretty excited, and hopefully we'll see some fun today. Thanks for joining us.
I hope it's fun.
And when can we tune in and listen to Bob?
I'm on every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 o'clock on News Talk 1570.
All right, folks, check him out, Bob Dominey.
All right, see you, buddy.
I'm with Jared Stillman, ESPN 680. Jared, what are you most excited about seeing today?
I think there are a lot of things you can see. First and foremost, the fan support. You know, with the autograph session being canceled, how are they going to respond? Right now, what we see looks great from a U of L standpoint, but also, who doesn't want to see Michael Dyer? I mean, this is something we've been talking about. We got to see him in the other practice. He had been on the program for like 2 days. Now he's in there full capacity. I want to see what he does. He's been running with the first team or something. Let's see what he can do. And, of course, got to see Dominique Brown.
You and I had a little go last week on the Dominique Brown-Michael Dyer. I do think Dominique Brown's going to see significant minutes. You don't. Are you going to change your mind on that?
I don't know if I'd say that. Look, I think Brown is a key asset to this team. Depth has never hurt anybody. I don't think anybody's ever complained we have too much depth. I think Dyer is a superior runner. What can Brown do for this team? What can Brown do for this team? He's a great blocker. You and I talked about this off air. He's a great blocker. He's had great games, whether it was against Kentucky. He's a guy that can be an every down back. Now, is he going to be an every down back on this team? I'm not certain. Not with the five running backs that they have. You love Lamb. I also think Brandon Ratcliffe's a guy who might get some time, but I really want to see what Michael Dyer can do in there. I want to see the pass rush. Now, Vance Beckford said that he's going to be more aggressive this year. He was worried that he was a little too conservative last year. I want to see what that'll look like. Now, I don't know what kind of view we'll get of that, but I want to see what the defense is doing from a blitzing standpoint.
All right, there we go. Jared Stillman. I'm with Ethan Moore, Louisville Sports Live. Ethan, what are you looking for?
I want to see how the offensive line holds up, because Teddy can't be prolific like you think he can unless the offensive line blocks one. Now, I want to see how Mack and Garcia are progressing. That, and Teddy's blind side, we know that Jamal Brown moved over there to protect his blind side. That is what I want to see, because I'm confident in the running game, whether it be Dominique Brown or Michael Dyer. I want to see Dyer. I don't know how I feel about Dyer going in and getting a lot of snaps right off the bat. I do think, though, by game 4 or 5, he will be getting the majority of the snaps. But for me, it's the offensive line. Also, I want to see how aggressive that the defensive line attacks as well. Now, with this being a scrimmage, we'll see in practice. But I really want to hold Vance Beckford's comments to the fire. I want to see if he really means they're going to be more aggressive, because let's face it, the offense can score. Now, can the defense get more turnovers? And I think they will be able to with more pressure.
That sounds good. And, yeah, the offensive line is going to be a key. Nacho Garcia looks like he's going to get back on the field. That's important. Looks like the second line of offensive line is what they're worried about the most. So that's something that, as the season progresses and we head to that Cincinnati game, that we think it can be that last game for the Big East AAC title, the Middle Conference title. Welcome to Middle Earth. As we point to that game, I think the offensive line depth, that will be probably what we succeed or not with against Cincinnati. What do you think?
And I think that, but most importantly, the defensive line depth. Now, we're missing two big guys, D'Angelo Brown being one of them. And a lot of people forget that, well, let's face it, the first 4 or 5 games, those teams aren't going to be very strong. Now, the first and second week of October, when we played Central Florida and Rutgers here at home, those guys are going to need to be eligible, because those are two of the better teams on the schedule. And you just mentioned Cincinnati. I fully expect both sides of the ball to be fully 100% healthy by that time. And I think it's going to ultimately come down to Louisville and Cincinnati to see who gets that BCS role.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for your time.
Likewise. Nice to meet you. I'm
with Mike Hughes, Inside the Ville, ITV 24. Mike, what you looking for today?
Trying to find a cool spot out here. Hot day. I mean, it's a great crowd. I think this is obviously the kids like to do the autographs, but I think the fans probably appreciate this a little bit more. And, you get a chance to come out here and see the guys a couple weeks before the season kicks off. So I think this is a great experience, and this looks like a top 10
team.
All right,
thanks, man. At the Bats game.
Who's the surprise name?
205?
Yeah. We keep hearing all the names. Is there a name that's going to come out of nowhere on the offensive line, defensive line? Is there any surprise names that Cardinal fans can look for?
I think James Quick's a name. I mean, I don't think he's a surprise name, but, I think he's a true freshman who has got some skills and ability that he can make plays right away. And I think he's a guy to watch for. And, I also like to see Michael Lee Harris out here today. He's, he's knee brace free after all those surgeries he's had. And
looked like he had an athletic grab earlier, too.
He did. I mean, the true test will come when the pads come on and the hitting comes on. But just made an athletic grab deep downfield and looked to be running well. So, I think that's a good sign to see heading into the season from him.
All right. If Louisville struggles this year, why do we struggle?
Well, the obvious reason would be Teddy Bridgewater got hurt. I mean, I think that's the key. If Teddy Bridgewater is if he's upright this season and that offensive line comes together as I think it will. I mean, you've got some veterans there who've kind of shuffled around, but I think you've got enough experience and talent that front is going to come together. And, if Bridgewater stays healthy and the key guys stay healthy, I think this is a team that, can win every game on the schedule.
Okay, now if Teddy gets hurt, is Will Gardner the clear-cut number two, or has he not shown himself to be clear-cut number two just yet?
Yeah, no, I think Will is the clear-cut number two, and he's being groomed. He's getting the reps on the second team, and, he's got all the talent in the world. He's a big kid. He's got a great arm. The one thing that he lacks is the playing experience. So, you know, hopefully we're going to have some blowouts early in the season, and you're going to see him maybe get some reps in those late game situations and get some of that experience that he needs, because, you know, in all probability, he's probably going to be the guy that's going to lead Louisville into the Atlantic Coast Conference next season.
All right, folks, well, Mike Hughes has been on the sidelines for, man, probably at least a decade getting scooped for folks.
InsideTheVille.com, pull up the roster on your mobile phone. You get all the numbers, heights, weights, class, profile. So, you know, if your fans haven't checked us out, I hope they will.
And what did we just check out right there, Mike Hughes?
I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. That's Devontae Parker just going up and catching the ball. And he's done that a few times today, and I think he'll do it a few more times this season.
Athletic grab between two defenders. Mike Hughes, thanks for joining us.
We're with Howie Lindsay, CardinalSports.com. Howie, what a day today.
I love it. I love the heat. I think the coaches like the heat, too. They like to crank it up a little bit. I was talking to Coach last week, and he said, you know, practice has been okay, but they'd rather get it a little hotter, make it tougher on these guys.
Well, I've been melting out here in my shirt, so I don't know. I think they need to build shade for the fans. Are we too soft? Are we too soft now for football? Are we not tough enough to be football fans?
Well, I'm definitely too soft. I've got the whole back sweat going on. I'm sitting up there in the red seats, but it was a good day. It's great to see all the fans out here. I thought it was a really good crowd. People tailgating 2 hours early, love that.
Well, any surprise performances out there that you saw?
Michael Lee Harris, Robo Knee. I mean, the guy's out there running well. He got the touchdown down there. It's good to see him back out there. I haven't seen Michael Lee Harris in, boy, it feels like a year and a half. And you got to remember, that guy was, you know, one of Louisville's leading receivers. He's a tremendous pass catcher. So, and plus he's got, you know, Teddy Bridgewater loves him. Teddy Bridgewater loves Eli Rogers. I think both those guys are going to have more catches than people realize this year.
And what about the offensive line? Because, you know, Nacho was really pushing for that left tackle. Then his shoulder got hurt. Now it's Jamon. And almost looked like they were working, Mark was talking about, they were working him a little bit at the guard, maybe a little bit. So where is he going to land? I mean, that's too big of a body. He seems to be too good of a player.
Yeah, he should be a tackle. I think they've got some real struggles on that offensive line right now. I mean, they've got Chris Acosta in there for the first team a couple times. They had they had Nacho in there. They're moving Mac around. I think they've had some injuries there. They moved Pedro Sabea over from the defense. I think that's a genuine concern. Louisville's number 9 in the country. They're top 10 team. But if you look at one thing that could derail the season, it's that offensive line.
This reminds me a little bit of Dave Ragone's.
I know. That's the fear, right? That's the fear. You don't want it to be Dave Ragone's senior year. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think there's enough talent there that they'll pull it together, but that's the fear. I mean, that's in every U of L fan's mind. You're like, please don't let it be a Dave Ragone season, you know.
And that was the year we beat Florida State, but Kentucky came in and beat us by like 2 points or 3 points, but they sacked us like 5 times. He was so beat up. Folks, we've got a lot of skill positions, but we need that line to be working to see any of that.
That's exactly right. They've got to figure out spots there. And I think they've got 4 guys that, when they're healthy, have significant starting experience in the past. That includes Cameron Joy in there. And then those guys are okay. Now, they've got to figure out another tackle. And can Jamon Brown play left tackle? I mean, that's a question. Even asking Coach Borbley about, you know, Jamon and his transition, he mentioned quickness. Because, you know, he's going to go up against the best defensive end on every team. Is he quick enough to handle that?
Great. Thanks for joining us. Howie Lindsay of CardinalSports.com. Cardinal Sports Report also hitting the stands. Thanks for joining us.
You're going to bleep out all those cuss words? Yeah.
With the team, and then with 707, we just actually get them into different segments of practice.
What day do you say to yourself, okay, this is when we got to have a consistent first team and a second team and a scout team?
Well, we already have a consistent first team with our first team defense. We know who the first team offense is. And then with the scout team, what would you like to do with scout team is you still have 2 weeks before you play. You have a bunch of young guys. And you don't want to all of a sudden just tell them they're on the scout team because a lot of them are homesick and you just don't want them to start thinking about home and them even thinking they're not going to get a chance to go play.
How do you think Will Gardner's doing yesterday, today?
Oh, Will is still learning the offense. He's doing a very good job. You know, he's doing a great job of managing it also.
The autograph thing is something is that you think you'll readdress in the future, or will that be going forward to fan days, no autographs?
Oh, no, we'll readdress it and just see just exactly where we are.
Yeah. Charlie, it looked like Drew Johnson had a pretty good day today. Has he been having a good camp for you?
Well, Drew's kind of beat up himself. Today was the first time that we actually got a full practice out of him because what we've been doing with Drew is he's been going probably half a practice, and then we're going 2 days. He sat the second practice because he had some really bad shin splints. So really today was the first time he's able to get out.
Where's Floyd at? And that, you know, Didn't see him out here today.
T. Floyd has had probably of all DBs, has probably had the best camp. Has a little foot injury, but he'll be back.
Coach, how do you feel to see all the fans out there and just the momentum 2 weeks from today, the first game?
Well, it's just the anticipation, and our fans are so excited, just like our players. You know, we've been in camp now 2 weeks. We have another 2 weeks from today, probably in the first quarter right now playing that game. But it's exciting. It's exciting for just for the whole university, just excitement. And 2 weeks from today, we're ready to tee it up and go play and see what this team is all about.
Folks, that'll wrap up this week's edition of the Crunch Zone Podcast. We're covering Fan Day. We had a great time, talked to a lot of folks. Follow us this Monday and every Monday to catch the Crunch Zone Podcast on thecrunchzone.com or on Louisville.am. Thanks for tuning in. Cars forever. I promise to rep the field.